criminal prosecution. The idea that nature and nurture interact to shape some part of the mind might turn out to be wrong. But it is not wishy-washy or unexceptionable, even in the 21st century, thousands of years after the issue was framed. When it comes to explaining human thought and behavior, the possibility that heredity plays any role at all still has the power to shock. To acknowledge human nature, many think, is to endorse racism, sexism, war, greed, genocide, nihilism, reactionary politics, and neglect of children and the disadvantaged. Any claim that the mind has an innate organization strikes people not as a hypothesis that might be incorrect, but as a thought it is immoral to think. This book is about the moral, emotional, and political colorings of the concept of human nature in modern life. I will retrace the history that led people to see human nature as a dangerous idea, and I will try to unsnarl the moral and political rat's nests that have entangled the idea along the way. Though no book on human nature can hope to be uncontroversial, I did not write it to be yet another explosive book, as dust jackets tend to say. I am not, as many people assume, countering an extreme nurture position with an extreme nature position, with the truth lying somewhere in between. In some cases, an extreme environmentalist explanation is correct. Which language you speak is an obvious example, and differences among races and ethnic groups in test scores may be another. In other cases, such as certain inherited neurological disorders, an extreme hereditarian explanation is correct. In most cases, the correct explanation will invoke a complex interaction between heredity and environment. Culture is crucial, but culture could not exist without mental faculties that allow humans to create and learn culture to begin with. My goal in this book is not to argue that genes are everything and culture is nothing. No one believes that. But to explore why the extreme position, that culture is everything, is so often seen as moderate, and the moderate position is seen as extreme. Nor does acknowledging human nature have the political implications so many fear. It does not, for example, require one to abandon feminism, or to accept current levels of inequality or violence, or to treat morality as a fiction. For the most part, I will try not to advocate particular policies or to advance the agenda of the political left or right. I believe that controversies about policy almost always involve trade-offs between competing values, and that science is equipped to identify the trade-offs but not to resolve them. Many of these trade-offs, I will show, arise from features of human nature, and by clarifying them, I hope to make our collective choices, whatever they are, better informed. If I am an advocate, it is for discoveries about human nature that have been ignored or suppressed in modern discussions of human affairs. Why is it important to sort this all out? The refusal to acknowledge human nature is like the Victorians' embarrassment about sex, only worse. It distorts our science and scholarship, our public discourse, and our day-to-day lives. Logicians tell us that a single contradiction can corrupt a set of statements and allow falsehoods to proliferate through it. The dogma that human nature does not exist, in the face of evidence from science and common sense that it does, is just such a corrupting influence. First, the doctrine that the mind is a blank slate has distorted the study of human beings, and thus the public and private decisions that are guided by that research. Many policies on parenting, for example, are inspired by research that finds a correlation between the behavior of parents and the behavior of children. Loving parents have confident children. Authoritative parents, neither too permissive nor too punitive, have well-behaved children. Parents who talk to their children have children with better language skills, and so on. Everyone concludes that to grow the best children, parents must be loving, authoritative, and talkative. And if children don't turn out well, it must be the parents' fault. But the conclusions depend on the belief that children are blank slates. Parents, remember,